I'm Ron Schwabe.
And my name's Daniel Fernandez. Well, we set up this practice and that name, and basically for us is an approach to use food as a tool to look into landscapes, geopolitics, geography, but also doing it from a perspective of architecture and visual arts.
So we do exhibitions, performances, and also sometimes we cook.
And you've got a project at the moment, haven't you? Just tell me a little bit about your project.
So the project that we've been working on for a year or a bit more is called Climavore, and looks at this idea of eating and the creation of landscapes, right? So in the same way that you have omnivores or carnivores, we question what would it mean to actually eat according to climatic events, hence Climavore.
And what's interesting for us is how the moment kind of seasons that we are used to of spring, summer, autumn and winter have become obsolete. And we go into the supermarket and we eat basically everything all year round. What are actually are the seasons according to which we could eat today? So how would we eat in the season of drought, in the season of desertification, or in the season of acidifying oceans?
I was going to ask you why you came to Jersey as part of this project, but then thinking about the sort of the food that we have here, our Jersey Royals, our sea fish, is that why you wanted to come over?
Well, it's all started through this collaboration with the Morning Boat, which is an initiative from Jersey. And we proposed to expand this idea of Climavore, which is a project we've been doing in other places, and look into here the actual condition of the water, but also looking at the whole rich history of seaweed or wreck, but also oysters.
And oysters is something we're pretty good at doing here in Jersey.
Exactly. So there's a very long history of using oysters, and what's very interesting for us with oysters that they are filter feeders. So basically they're constantly purifying the waters of the ocean and absorbing carbons and nitrogen, and by that in a certain way preventing the acidification of the ocean around the island.
You mentioned the seaweed. Which I don't know if you're aware of, is something that we do get quite a lot of here in Jersey, especially at certain times of the year. What did you sort of discover on your journey when you looked at that?
Well, first we were looking at the history of it being used as a fertilizer, and which is a practice that's almost disappearing, and some people are trying to pick it up. But also this the problem of the sea lettuce, right? And that's precisely when this approach to food becomes very useful, because then it allows you to rethink the whole ecology of the island, or kind of the environmental challenges that there are, precisely by the overuse of fertilizers or chemicals for the inland agriculture that actually reflected into the status of the waters, right? And that's when you have these blooms for many different reasons. But that's what we're trying to do. Like, what if we would rethink the whole ecology from a kind of larger perspective? From the top of the mountain almost to kind of the middle of the ocean.
What other sort of areas have you been looking at whilst you've been in Jersey? We've sort of mentioned the oysters, we've mentioned the sea lettuce. Has there been anything else you've had a look at?
Basically, we were focusing around the shore, and I think the Jersey shore is quite an interesting space, especially because it doubles itself twice a day, right? So kind of the island is constantly expanding and contracting, and basically, kind of, we were looking at different forms of life and production of food along the shore. But of course, in our approach, the top of the mountain where fertilizers are being put and are penetrating into the aquifer of Jersey and seeping into the ground and out in the ocean is part of the shoreline as well, right? You cannot stop the shoreline where the sea necessarily ends. It's something that extends much, much further, both up the mountain and into the ocean.
So in a way, for us, what is very unique here is this connection between the shore, but also the offshore as an economy, right? And what are kind of the overlaps that we can find also to think of different futures.
How does Jersey compare to the other places that you've been? Because we are an island, and, you know, we aren't the biggest island in the world either. So has that given you sort of an interesting aspect as well?
Well, I mean, I think we're running a similar, or a project that looks at similar issues in Skye, in Scotland. And it's an island that's much bigger, while it's less populated than Jersey, right? But yeah, I think you have many similarities of like island population and like island culture in a way, and the how food production has developed over the years, but at the same time, I think there are some challenges that are very unique to Jersey, and like some advantages that are very unique to Jersey as well. So I think, yeah, we can compare a few things, but I think what's very interesting for us here is that it's quite a small space that is easily governed, right? Mm. You can really take control over what's happening here, and I think there could be a few small shifts into policy and practice that could make a very big difference for the future here.
So, for instance, is it precisely the fact that it's not a huge island what allows or could allow, for instance, for it to become almost like a reference model for other places in terms of a super pioneering approach to ecology, right?
So we could be a world leader in that sense rather than sort of following the trends.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done, but like, I think the size is kind of very interesting in that regard.
And have you been meeting lots of different groups of people whilst you've been here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've met a couple of oyster farmers, and it was very interesting to see, basically the emergence of the industry after the kind of the disappearance of the oyster beds in the late, like mid-19th century, and how this industry kind of reemerged as a much more kind of aquaculture farmed practice in the mid-20th century. And also a lot of, like, a few people that are really doing pioneering work in trying to bring back oysters, that the flat oyster that has originated from here, the oyster bait. So that was a very interesting conversation. Then a lot of people that are kind of trying to think of seaweed and how would you practice, and then different environmental groups, so like from the Société, the biodiversity group there, and also Save Our Shoreline, which is another environmentalist group here.
So just lots of different people as well. And how long is this project going to take you to do? Because you say it's what, just over a year or so you've been doing it now.
We've been doing it for a while, and there's no end at the moment. It keeps expanding, and basically, for us, it's a very good working tool to look into different places. Mm. So I can't tell when it's going to be the end.
And what will you do with all the research that you're doing? How are you going to present it so people can see?
So we'll do a series of events that are going to take place in coastal art institutions all across the UK, Jersey being one of them as well. And basically, in the fall, we'll be back here and do some kind of a performative event, which will be open to the public, of course, so people can come and participate. And really, for us, it's a platform to kind of bring this discussion and hold it in a public forum and kind of try to see, if it would be possible to think of an island that fertilizes its soil from seaweed, right? Something that has been done here for hundreds of years and has been lost and could be very easily reabsorbed into the culture and practices and really shift, for instance, the whole situation of the water.
And bring back a bit of a traditional Jersey feel as well.
Well, yeah, but more than traditional, just for the sake of being traditional, for us is what are the values that can be updated today or brought to a contemporary situation.